From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Soma.
I'm from Berkeley.
Concord, Cali.
Tenderloin District.
La Mission.
The Mission District.
Noe Valley.
I live in Silver Terrace.
Coming up, women of the Bay Area speak their minds to the incoming president.
I am not your convenient vagina, not your booty call, not your punching bag or the brunt of your jokes.
Then how art can reveal and illuminate women's experiences.
So we were kind of concerned about how can women respond to rude and crude discourse.
And we'll learn the story behind this week's Audiograph Mystery Sound.
Awesome navel oranges right now, all kinds of mandarins, W. Murcott's. We just got in the sumo citrus.
That's coming up today on Cross Currents. Stay with us. This post-inauguration Saturday, hundreds of thousands of people are expected to participate in women's marches. In the words of local organizers, quote, to stand together, recognizing that defending the most marginalized among us is defending all of us. In advance of these marches, KALW and the East Bay Express have partnered up to gather letters from Bay Area women speaking directly to President-elect Trump. We've heard a few of them earlier in the week, and we're sharing more with you today. Lucia was our youngest letter writer. She's 12 years old and lives in San Francisco. We're just using her first name to protect her privacy.
My mom was really involved in the election, and she'd always read articles, and she'd always tell us about what she read, and it was really interesting to me, actually. And one day we were listening to KALW, and they told us about the website to write letters, and I was like, I want to do that, so. Dear Donald Trump, I am a 12-year-old girl with two moms. I live without fear, but since you got elected, I'm scared. I live in California, a Democratic state. But what will it become? Will I be able to walk around with my moms and not have anyone be mean? Or will they say something about me or the people I love? My mom was very involved in the election, so much that we went to Reno to get people to vote for Hillary Clinton. It worked. But once you got elected, she cried. I cried. We all cried. We loved Hillary so much. We were scared of what will happen. In my school, I only know two people who are for you. And it's tough to be around them. But America? America is for you. That is what scares me most. You lie, cheat, and bully. You are just plain mean. You focus on our appearance and not our brains. There's more to me than what's on the outside. Being a girl, I feel seriously offended by you. My family and I are going to Washington for the march. We will do whatever it takes to show that we won't let you treat women or the American people the way you do. So please resign. I ask you respectfully. It is so scary. It's like this. How would you feel if an ogre became president? Scared, right? It's basically the same. No offense. My parents say it's not nice to name call since it hurts people's feelings. But that's what you do. Please, either be our president or let it go. Because we need a president who represents all people. And we are willing to fight. Sincerely, Lucia. I've never written to another politician. After writing this letter, I feel like I want to be more involved in politics and maybe become a politician. It felt really good when I was writing the letter because even if it wasn't going to be published, I felt that I was getting my voice heard and that he might actually listen, even though he might not. But yeah.
That was Lucia, the youngest writer in our Letters to Trump project. We're now going to the other end of the age spectrum to our next writer, Lucille Hamas. She's 89 and lives in Davis.
I wasn't happy with his election. I felt I wanted to do something I'm not able to go on the march because I can't walk that far anymore and do things. And I decided this was something I could do. So I did it. I got it. Mr. Trump, I am 89 years old and was not impressed with your words or actions during the campaign. In fact, I fear where you are leading our great nation. On the international level, you are acting like a bully. Your statements about increasing our nuclear power and your appointment for ambassador to Israel really cause me grave concern. At this critical time, it is imperative we to be thinking capital we instead of us versus them, if our world is going to survive. Everyone living on this planet is part of the human family. Don't forget that. Respectfully, Lucille Hamas. Well, I think in terms of the way he talks about the Muslims and the Mexicans and some of these people, he should be including everybody and not just isolating, just say about like they're them and we're us. And so we're good. It sort of goes back to the old Western movies where then everybody was either a good guy or the bad guy. And that's so simplistic.
That was Lucille Hamas with her contribution to our Letters to Trump project. We'll hear next from Oakland native Regina Shipman. She's outreach coordinator at the Oakland Women's Center, which is helping coordinate this Saturday's march. These words are her own.
This is entitled, I Am the Essence of Love. I am not your convenient vagina, not your booty call, not your punching bag or the brunt of your jokes. You sick excuse of a reason. On the contrary, I am the opposite of hate, the complement and birth of the nation, me and my nature, my ovaries, my uterus, my determination. My voice matters. Respect my body and my mind, or forever feast on the famine of rotting flesh of war. Regina Shipman. The first draft was just it. I believe in the power of the word, and women, they are so awesome. We birth the nation, we bury the nation, and we raise the nation. What could be more awesome than that? Women matter, and the energy of maleness of the planet is getting out of control. And we need to be respected, and we need to be honored for who we are and the gifts that we bring. And that's what we can do, is we can enfold each other, the women and the children. And if the men get on board, yay. But pretty much we need to take control, and we need to guide the ship.
That was Regina Shipman, one of the writers in our Letters to Trump project, a partnership with the East Bay Express. To hear or read more letters, go to our website, kalw.org or eastbayexpress.com. And to bring you back from the weekend, we'll have a few more letters to share with you on Monday morning on the Cross Currents Morning Report. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. While women will be marching across the country in support of women's rights, civil rights, and human rights, others will be showcasing their art, aiming to address some of these very issues. In the Most Loving Way is an exhibition presented by the Northern California Women's Caucus for Art that features 52 artists from performance art to documentary film. It was curated by Tanya Augsburg, a feminist performance scholar and associate professor of humanities and liberal studies at San Francisco State. KALW's Jen Chien sat down with Tanya to talk about how the project came together and how the results of the presidential election are reflected in the show.
This exhibition that you've curated, F*** You in the Most Loving Way, a national feminist art exhibition, the artists are responding to patriarchy and to sexism. Mm-hmm. Tell me about some of the pieces and some of the artists in the show that you chose.
The first artists that we selected were connected to the Woman House exhibition, because when we started thinking about this show, we wanted to give a nod to this historical exhibition that Judy Chicago.
That's just about 45 years ago.
It was probably one of the first, if not the first, blockbuster feminist exhibition. It was actually an installation and performance space where, under the direction of Judy Chicago and Miriam Shapiro at the Feminist Art Program at CalArts, 21 young student artists, also some of them were graduate students, converted a deserted Hollywood mansion. And about 10,000 people visited this. So we have three artists participating in the show as featured artists who are actually Woman House artists. And then we also have Joanna Dimitrakis, who made the documentary about it.
And so when you were first conceiving of this show, you thought back to Woman House. What else was in your mind when you were thinking about what you wanted to include in this show?
Well, we wanted to revisit it. Okay, so Woman House, I mean, was pretty much comprised of white heterosexual women. And we also were thinking about how many things have changed since 1972. So Woman House was really about examining women's place in the home, about domestic spaces and their social roles. And at that time, many women were mothers and housewives. Well, again, much has changed, right? So we wanted to examine how the domestic space has changed. We wanted to look at where women are now also, the workplace and the public sphere. So in the summer when we were organizing this, we were pretty confident that basically the election was going to have the 2016 presidential election was going to have another outcome. And this show was going to be opening right after the election. Right. And it's going to close one day after the inauguration. So we were thinking from Woman House to the White House. So we were thinking about examining women's social roles. We were thinking about how basically gender binaries no longer exist. Right. So we wanted the show to also be very inclusive, to include queer perspectives of women of color. And that's very important, right? Because women of color have always been working. And that wasn't exactly acknowledged in Woman House in 1972. And I also want to acknowledge that the idea of the show really needs to be attributed to the exhibition director of NCWCA, who is Liesl Whitlock. And she also came up with the provocative title.
And that's the National
Northern California Women's Caucus for Art. I think she came up with the title because we were talking about this, and also Art Forum. There was an article in their summer issue by Ara Osterwell, and it was called F*** You, A Feminist Guide to Surviving the Art World. And she had 13 propositions, and really the expression F*** You is kind of an act of aggression, right? And that's the first one. And then the 13th one talks about how F*** You can also be an act of self-obliteration. So we were kind of concerned about how can women respond to rude and crude discourse, you know, that was going on in the spring with the public debates, but also things about microaggression, trolling, even domestic issues. How can women respond in an affirmative way?
In a loving way.
In a loving way. So that's why we have these two components. It's f*** you, excuse me, but then also in the most loving way.
You have more than 50 artists represented in the show. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
52. Mm-hmm. But that's the total, mm-hmm. featured artist and juried artist.
And so the difference for folks who might not know the difference, you chose artists, you kind of invited them, mm-hmm. whereas the juried artist submitted their art and then were chosen from a pool, more like applying to be in the show.
Yeah, there were many, many submissions. We would have liked to have included many more artists, and there were many incredible works that didn't get chosen. And there are many feminist issues today. So the jurors selected the issues that were of interest and important to her. And it worked really well. There's a really nice resonances among the works that I chose and she chose. For example, Sheila Bree Bright's piece is The Way It Is, has been installed by Karen Goodfriend, who's a NCWCA member and also a curator in her own right, is right next to Blonde Jenny's piece. And Blonde Jenny is an artist of Korean birth who is New York City based. And they both include images of Barbie dolls and the eyes issues. And it's just incredible how they kind of
those
are in dialogue.
Are, even mm-hmm. though those artists didn't work together.
Exactly.
That's the great thing about a multi-artist show is you see the connections that are kind of spontaneous in a way.
Yeah, and things that you would never imagine that actually would be art mediums.
That was professor and scholar Tanya Augsburg, who curated the art exhibit F*** You in the Most Loving Way. You can see the closing day of the exhibition at Arc Gallery in San Francisco on Saturday from 12 to 3. All that information is at kalw.org. Click Cross Currents. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. And now it's time for Audiograph, the Bay Area's sonic signature. Here's KALW's Julie Kane.
All week long, we've been playing you this sound.
Awesome navel oranges right now, all kinds of mandarins, W. Murcott's. We just got in the sumo citrus. Ask the workers what's good. Try things that you've never tried before.
Think you know what that was and where we recorded it? To bring us the answer, we sent KALW's Hannah Kingsley Ma to a Berkeley institution.
In a grocery aisle surrounded by 7 different types of coconuts, I'm listening to the sounds of one very exuberant shopper. The whistler in question is Donna Tate. She's perusing the immense organic section at Berkeley Bowl, an independent supermarket in South Berkeley. Ask why she's so joyful about a routine chore, and she says,
"Oh my God, it's a food Toys R Us."
Tate is a relatively new shopper to the store, inspired by a new commitment to eat better.
They've always told me about it, but like I said, it seemed overwhelming on the outside, and I wasn't really into eating healthy.
Overwhelming is right. One person I talked to described the inside of Berkeley Bowl as mountains of every fruit and vegetable you could imagine. But once Tate came in, she discovered that this very same abundance was what made shopping here fun.
I have variety, things that I have never tried before. You know, I can try different things from different countries.
It's not just about the produce. There are bulk bins, lots of international products, a cafe. This is why it's a good idea to come here with a plan.
I have my route.
That's Jackie Blue. She's serious about food.
Am I a good cook? Yes. You want to come to dinner?
Blue has been shopping at the Berkeley Bowl since the very beginning, back when it occupied an old bowling alley across the street from where it is now. The business was founded in 1977 by Glenn Yasuda and his wife Diane. Yasuda's parents were farmers who harvested mushrooms, and he brought with him a passion for produce. He's in his early 80s, still here every day, up before dawn. Surrounded by the literal fruits of Yasuda's labor, I ask Blue, how do you think this all gets here?
Trains and boats and planes.
Where does this stuff come from? It's the question I asked Nick Christopher, the produce buyer for the store's two locations. Yasuda mentored Christopher till he became the kind of guy who knows apples are sweeter when they grow in the mountains than in the valley.
Because they have much cooler nights in the mountains than they do in somewhere in the valleys.
To show me how exactly the store gets its massive array of fresh fruits and vegetables, we end up at the wholesale market in Jack London Square in the middle of the night, wrapping on seedless mini watermelons with our knuckles.
What should they sound like?
It's 4 a.m., a big yellow moon shining down on pallets of bell peppers, kale, sacks of pecans. Bundled up wholesale sellers who can see their breath greet each other with the kind of camaraderie that comes from being up at an ungodly hour.
Hey! What's going on? Good to see you.
While most of us are asleep, trucks traveling from down south are making their way to this market, where vendors will sell to grocery stores like Berkeley Bowl and restaurants. This is one of three big wholesale markets Berkeley Bowl will visit tonight. They do source a lot of their organic produce from nearby farms, but the demand often extends beyond what these places can offer. For instance, the store's best-selling fruit comes straight from the tropics. Bananas.
Bananas are still grown in a plantation that used to be a jungle in South America or Central America that needs to be picked and, you know, cleaned and put on a boat and trucked up to LA.
For a store of its size, Christopher tells me, Berkeley Bowl is unusual in how hands-on it is in selecting its produce.
We're on our own to fend for ourselves and to put all the good stuff on the shelves that we can, and it really, you know, forced us to be creative in outsourcing a lot of this stuff. So.
The store's truck drivers are out here every night, grabbing their orders, cleaning what to put on the shelf. The vendors also pull out crates of things they think the buyers might be interested in, giving them samples here and there.
It's not bad, yeah.
It's decent, it's got good color to it.
Yeah. Is this all there is?
There's a nearby bar that will open at 6:30 a.m., where a lot of the wholesale workers who've been here since midnight will trickle into. But Christopher and I are headed back to the store.
Good morning.
Around 5 a.m., Berkeley Bowl is already full of employees squeezing orange juice, readying displays, polishing the floors. Before the store opens its doors, Christopher will brief the employees on what's in season right now, help Glenn Yasuda create handwritten signs for each and every item of produce, a tradition going back to the store's beginning. It's a lot of invisible labor through the night that goes into stocking the grocery store of shopper Jackie Blue's dreams.
You have to come and see it. It really is a feast for the eyes as well as the kitchen.
For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Kingsley Ma.
Thanks, Hannah. Our winner this week is Tina Rubio. Congratulations, Tina. We're going to send you a KALW t-shirt. We always have our ears open for new audiograph sounds to investigate. Got a suggestion for us? Call and tell us. 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. It is great hearing from you. We love it. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks for playing. I'm Julie Kane.
Thanks, Julie. And that's it for us today. Our team includes Josiah Luis Alderetti, Lila Day, Nina Gensler-Debs, Nicole Grigg, Olivia Henry, Angela Johnston, Greer McVeigh, Ted Muldoon, Lisa Morehouse, James Rollins, Stephen Short, Judy Silber, and Andrew Stelzer. Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff. The line producer today was Hannah Kingsley Ma. Our managing editor is Jen Sheehan. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. This music is being performed by the dynamic Miss Faye Carroll. Faye Carroll recently received a Lifetime Achievement Award from the City of Berkeley and is in the Regional Hall of Fame in Oakland and Pittsburgh, California. Faye Carroll is appearing at the Back Room in Berkeley every Sunday afternoon through February, starting at 5 p.m. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.
I wouldn't deceive him, but nothing.